Morning, church. Morning. You can go ahead and be seated. Now I'm going to make you come up. You said you wanted to say something. You got to stand up and say something. You can't hide in the background. We are going to get a good update from the Giving Tree and all that you did as a church. So,
hopefully get through this and that God's words would represent this. I wanted to share a little bit about the Giving Tree this week because it was so much more special this year and important, and God worked in such a way beyond just being able to provide Christmas for families that struggle. So if you can imagine, Christmas is particularly hard for families whose kids are in foster care. And on Monday, I got to work really early, and I got all the gifts in and divided them by families, and I knew that the first foster care visitation was going to be taking place that afternoon. And we have this family that we're working with, and mom is terribly, terribly addicted. And she's got four kids. The older two are 12 and 13. And it's been so hard because children don't know the difference between the person and the addiction. And so they're mad. The 12 and 13-year-old boys are really mad at mom. And so this week, they came in, and the 13-year-old boy, he hasn't come to visitations in a long time because he's mad. He's really mad at her. And the 12-year-old this week opened some gifts because he's a history buff. And he got really quiet, and he looked at her, and he said, "How did you know?" And for a glimmer of a second, he realized the mom who knew him well, who made that Christmas list, who made the list of the things that he loved, was still there. Was still there behind the addiction. And for once, there was a visitation that had some laughter and had some joy. And then the next day, his brother came. And in the middle of her addiction, she got to see her son. Because brother number one, you know, went back and said, "I had this experience with mom." I'm sure the gifts were, you know, an added plus there too for a 13-year-old boy. But that happened this week. God worked in that way this week. And I wanted you to know, church, thank you for being the hands and feet and the willingness to do that. It made such a difference. And it was such an amazing thing, even for my staff. Because when you work with addiction day in, day out, you lose a little bit of that hope. You start to get real calloused, maybe. Almost, you know, really having to remind people to wake up to come and see their children, to get them up, get them in the car, get them where they're supposed to be. And so my staff got to see that this week, and the hope spread. And so I thank you for all you did with that and for the way our Lord used that this week. It was pretty cool. It was wonderful.
Yeah, let's lift up some praise. Because of your faithfulness in giving and trusting in the Lord, that moment happened for a family. So I can't express my gratitude enough for the people of this church and how you consistently show up for the community. And that is the reason why we gather together in the local church, is to see good in our community. Couple announcements that I have for you. Our prayer meeting, which is scheduled for December 31st, is canceled this week, and it will resume on January 7th. Along with that, the church office will be closed from December 25th to January 2nd. If you need anything from the church during that time, please do not hesitate to call Leslie. Okay, don't call me, call Leslie, all right? Not today, though, she's sick. She's a little under the weather today, so maybe send up a prayer for her today. But if you do need anything, reach out to the church phone number. We will answer and do anything that we need to do during that time. Also, next week, we're going to start our new series called Sex, Lies, and Power, all right, for the whole month of January. We're going to be exploring our longings, our need to trust, and the surprising grace and the covenant of love of God and relationships. It is going to be a powerful sermon series. So, if you know of anybody, any friends that you were looking to invite, this would be the one to invite some friends to. Some men be like, hey, we're going to talk about sex in church. All right, this will be a good one. You guys didn't laugh at that joke. Okay, all right. That was my first joke to kind of gauge where we're at today. That's good to know. We are very serious today. Pastor Dylan, you need to button it up today. I did notice that I'm a little offended. This has nothing to do with the message, by the way. I'm a little offended that no one is sitting to the first three rows. Like, you are all, like, spread back and then to the side, and nobody wants to be close to me this morning. I'm a little hurt by that, but I will continue. I will continue. We're going to be in Matthew, starting at verse 18. I'm going to skip over the Isaiah verse, and we'll come back to it later, okay? So we're going to be in Matthew 28, verse 18. If you want to open up your Bibles, you can. It'll be on the screen as well. And this is a section of Scripture we've heard so many times, but I thought it was so fitting for today. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Listen to this last part. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this time we get to share together this morning. Lord, I thank you for the people in this room that they braved the weather, they braved the ice, they braved the snow to come here to hear your word. They didn't come to hear any word from me, Lord. They came to hear your word and your voice. And so I pray now that as we journey together, that we would focus on your spirit, Lord, that anything that I would mess up, you would clean it up in the ears of the people, that it would only be your voice and your spirit they hear today, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. This is, if you want to know, like, if the Spirit's, like, working in this community, like, what Devin shared in between the second and third song, like, we didn't talk about the message at all, like, before. Like, he was practicing music, I was doing my sermon prep, we come together, we pray together as a worship team, and then we go our separate ways. Like, we didn't talk about the message at all, but what he was talking about is exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about the presence of God. And I found it as I was, like, sitting there, like, when he talked about be still and know that I am God, like, I could have used that section of Scripture for this message. Like, that's how fitting it is that he shared that. And what a treat to know that God is anointing this service today. Amen. That his spirit is upon this service. And Devin hit it right on the nose there. It's like where I was kind of going, like, you have all this buildup for the Advent season. Like, we come together, we're looking towards, and like, the coming of Christ in the flesh, he is coming to be among us. And we work this up and we build this up to this big, grand thing that finalizes in Christmas Eve service, which Christmas Eve service was great. I mean, we had over 140 people here for a Christmas Eve service, which we haven't had in over 10 years, okay? So that was, like, a really good thing. But you have all this, like, build up, and then Christmas comes and we celebrate that Jesus is here. I mean, some of you might even do like a birthday cake on Christmas where you're celebrating that Jesus has come. And then what happens? Christmas Day, you celebrate with the family, enjoy good food, you do all that. Then the next day comes, the day after Christmas. And you go from here to about here. You're on this spiritual high, Jesus is here, and then it's the next day, it's like, whoa, what just happened? And we kind of lose that magic a little bit. we lose that luster of the season. We lose that everything that we have been building up to. It's like, well, it's all gone now. Like everything that we were working towards, the coming of Christ, that he is here, and then the next day happens. And you got to go back to work. You got to get the kids somewhere. You got to clean up the house. You got to do all these things on your list. You got to reorganize everything because you got way too much stuff from the in-laws. Like all this stuff happens the day after. But it happens like that in our spiritual lives as well. Like have you noticed this before? Like we do this in our spiritual lives. We build up Christmas so high. And then it comes after Christmas like, okay, that was great. Now what? Like what do we do now? Like the presence of Christ coming at Christmas, like his presence is still with us even after Christmas. Like just because Christmas happened doesn't mean that his presence has gone away from us. And so the basis and where we're getting to in this message today is like the presence of Christ is not only for Christmas, it's for every single day. Like this is why God fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus, that he would come in the flesh among us so that he would be with us and go with us as we move forward. So there is hope. The post-Christmas blues, there is hope. There is hope. Let us look at this. Isaiah 7, verse 14, the sign, look, Emmanuel, was all this verse really shows us the desire of God and his willingness to come among us, to dwell with us, meaning that he wanted to reach out to us and come among us. And our hope, like what we base our hope on, is his nearness, his being close to us. Like I hope for you, like your foundation of hope is found in the fact that God came near to us. Like we celebrated Advent because God was making his move. He was coming to us. He wanted to be near us. Like this is the movement of the Advent season. And it was more than just the presence coming to us. Like that's what we celebrate. But it was more of the presence to be among us and with us as we go forward. Like we celebrate that he came, and we should, but let us not forget that God came to be with us. And so one of the questions that I asked myself this week, I did work, Livia, this week a little bit, just very little, as little as I could this week. But I was asking myself this question, like how do we trust in times of uncertainty? Like if you don't have the presence of God in your life, like how do you trust in times of uncertainty? Like when things are turned completely upside down, like what are you turning to in those moments? In the season of waiting when God feels quiet, like what are you doing in those moments if you're not trusting in the presence of God in your life? When you're facing fear with no true answers, like how are you mounting up momentum during that time if the presence of God is not with you? Like this is what we have to be careful of after Christmas. We have this big, grand display of spirituality, and then it's like, now what? What are we going to do now? Because guess what? Life is not going to stop happening just because Christmas came. It's for the very reason that life is going to happen that Christmas came. Right? Like Jesus came because of that reason. Like it's not going to stop just because Christmas came. Like you're going to have to go through a lot of stuff in life. But because Jesus' presence is with us, we can navigate those situations. And it was just like Devin was talking about in that verse with be still. Like there's a lot of stuff that happens before that verse. Like a lot of bad things are going to happen. It's not going to go well, but guess what? Be still, because my presence goes before you. And that's our word today, is that that even though that we will face uncertainty in our lives, that trouble will come in our lives, but the presence of God goes before us. Amen. This is the reason we celebrate Christmas, is that his presence goes before us. Our faith is anchored in a God, the God, who is focused on being with us and among us and close to us. Like, this is why we celebrate Christmas. When I was like looking through that question of, let me pull it back up here, how do we trust in times of uncertainty? Like, we have to anchor our hope in God's character. And what does his character tell us about him? Well, one, that he's faithful. He's trustworthy. And when we begin to trust those moments in our lives with him, our trust becomes more steady. Is that a word, more steady? I was going to say steadier, but I don't think that's a word. Is that a word? Yeah. Count? Okay. When we trust him more, we become steadier. I'm not sure if that's a word, guys. I just said it out loud. It didn't come out right, you know? When we trust in him, we become more steady. I like that better. I'm going to go with that. Should I say it again, or you guys got it? You got it. Okay, okay. But if we're not consistently being in the presence of God, like, how in those moments of uncertainty, like, what are you standing on to be steadier? Like, what are you, it sounded pretty good there, I like that. Like, what are you doing in, like, seriously, like, what are you doing in those moments? Like, if I look back at my life, there's two very distinct movements in my life. And this might be true for you as well. This is my life before Christ and my life after Christ. Now, I remember, like, when life would happen in my life before Christ, like, what I would do. Like, I had no basis, no foundation to stand on. Like, I wasn't trusting in the Lord in that moment. There was no foundation. And the world and the problems and everything that happens in those moments began to, like, they begin to weigh on you. And they feel heavy. But when I accepted Christ and I have Christ and I'm in the presence of Christ, like, when life happens, there's a foundation that we can stand on. Something that we can point to and say, my hope is not in anything in this world. It's with the one who came at Christmas. The one who came to dwell among us. The one whose presence goes before me wherever I go. Like, that's where my hope is. That's where my foundation is. That's what I base everything on. And I hope the same is for you as well. That when you're facing times of uncertainty, when you're looking forward and you're saying, I don't know how this is going to end up, but I know the presence of the Lord goes before me. His presence goes way beyond the manger. Let's look at a few more verses. Matthew 28:20 says this, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. John 1:14 says this, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I try to use that verse at least once a month because I love that verse so much. Hebrews 13:5 says this, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. Our next point is this, Jesus ushered in a new age. And his final promise is all about his ongoing presence, that his presence would be among us wherever we go. And it goes way beyond the incarnation. It goes way beyond what we celebrate at Christmas. And I think sometimes, like, we forget that, right? That his presence is still with us and working through us. And how did he accomplish this goal? And what God did completely and radically changed everything. Like, he brought Jesus to this world to atone for the sin that we could never atone for. And Jesus died on the cross, and then he was resurrected. He defeated death. He defeated judgment. He defeated the enemy. But then he ascended. And so the physical presence of Jesus was no longer here. But what did God do? He said, don't worry, I'm going to send you an advocate so that Christ could live in your heart. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that I can be near to you. And I'm sure, like, the Israelites, the old Israelites had to be like, what? Come on, man. Why couldn't you send this earlier? Life would have been a lot easier if you sent it earlier. God rarely, really controlled his presence early. And then Jesus came and died, and then God said, everyone gets the Holy Spirit. You ever seen that, the TV show Oprah? No? Well, there's like this one, I've never seen it either, but I just know of it. There's like this one where she's like giving out a car. Maybe it's like a meme, I don't even know. She's like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Guess what? You get the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy, like, God is like giving it to everyone. Like, it's not just one small area anymore. That God's Spirit will go before us, and it will be with all of us. Every single person now has access to Christ to live in their heart. Awesome. Thank you. I thought that was going to get the biggest amen of the day. It didn't, but we'll keep going a little bit deeper, and I think you'll get there. We often think, like, Christ comes, and it's like, this is great. Christmas is wonderful, but that's Christmas. Now I have to do the rest of my life. And we make, listen, we make Christ out to be a seasonal entity. We celebrate Christ at Christmas. We celebrate Christ at Easter. We lift up those two holidays and we're like, this is our Savior. But what about everything in between? Like, we have to stop just elevating Christ at these key moments in the calendar. Like, Christ should be elevated each and every day of our lives. It's shaped, our Christian identity is shaped and defined by the presence of God in our life. Like, that's our foundation. That's where we find our identity. Our identity is tied to the character of God, is tied to the faithfulness of God. God who sent his son to die on the cross for us, for our judgment, for our sin. Like, that's where we find our foundational identity. It's in his presence. Let's go a little bit further. Psalm 139, starting at verse 7. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. What a beautiful, beautiful verse, set of verses there. Colossians 1:27 says this, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Our next point is this. The promise continues in ordinary places and spaces. Like, this is really what we're kind of getting to in this message. And kind of the thought process behind it all was like, and I've already said it a few times, like, we elevate these special seasons in our lives, but we don't elevate Christ in the normal day-to-day moments of our lives. Like, we have to start realizing and recognizing that God's presence goes before us when we're hanging out with our family. God's presence is with us when we're at the job and we're doing our work. God's presence is with us wherever we go. Like, it's not limited. It's not seasonal. You know how they have, like, seasonal workers? And, like, God's not a seasonal worker. He's full-time. He's got a salary and benefits, all right? Like, his presence is with us wherever we go. And the crazy part is, like, we'll come together in a gathering just like this. And we'll sing songs and we'll raise our hands and we'll be like, death was defeated. Christ on the cross, my Savior, you did all this for me. And we'll sing together and we'll celebrate. We'll lift our voices together. And then Monday comes and we're like, man, life's tough. It's like his presence didn't just like stay here. Like, we read those verses, like, it's in here. Like, when you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you walk out those doors today, the presence of Christ is with you. Wherever you go, as soon as you walk out of these doors, Christ is going to be with you. And when we come back together next Sunday to celebrate all that God has done in our lives, like, that's what this gathering is for. That's why we celebrate each and every Sunday. It's like we're supposed to come together as a church community to say, this is what God is doing in my life. Your life is not in this building. You're only here for an hour and a half, one day a week. Where else are you the rest of the week? Not here. Like, you are out in the world. You're doing work. You're doing parenting. You're doing relationships and all these things in your life. And are you realizing and recognizing that the presence of God goes before you wherever you go? Like, Jesus is with you. You don't just have to come and celebrate Christmas and just be like, that was fun, that was great, that was awesome, that was wonderful. Now what? Now what? Emmanuel came, God with us. We read that verse so many times during Christmas, like, do we really, like, recognize what Isaiah was saying in that moment? Because it was a radical change. Isaiah was saying there was somebody coming who wants to be with you, and that somebody is God. He wants to walk with you when you're at the supermarket. He wants to walk with you when you're at school. He wants to walk with you in your relationships. He wants to walk with you when you're in pain, when you're struggling. He wants to go before you when you feel like you're in a season of wilderness, when nothing around you is going right. Like, his presence is with you in those moments. Like, that's the promise of the incarnation. That's why we celebrate. Let's look a little bit further. Matthew 28, let's read those verses again, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. Where at? In heaven and on earth. God has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Joshua 1:9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Acts 1:8, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our next point is this: we go forward, but not alone. Like, the encouragement from the Christmas season and today's message is like, life will continue. We are going to move forward. There's no getting around that. Like, that's going to happen. Like, teachers are going to have to go back to work at some point, right? You guys do work, right? Yeah. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. Just kidding. Teachers are great. But, like, we're going to get back into, like, our regular routines of life. And so, like, my hope and my prayer, like, as we've gathered together in this Advent season and we reach this moment of Christ coming and we celebrated that, like, now let's get to the place where we're taking Christ wherever we go, that we're asking that his presence would go before us. Like, we have to begin putting Christ into our daily rhythms of life. Church, I'm basically calling us all out right now. Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, are we beginning to take what we're hearing on Sunday and start taking it into our lives on Monday? Like, I don't want to be a church community that just gets together on a Sunday and we sing songs and we read some scripture and we're all great and wonderful and happy, and then we all leave here and forget that the presence of God goes before us wherever we go. Like, I don't want to be that type of church community. I want to be the type of church community that has Jesus deep, deep within their souls. That wherever we're going, the presence of Christ goes before us. I don't want to be the type of community that just celebrates on Christmas and Easter. I don't want to be the type of community that just kind of invites people into this place. I want to be the community that looks to the people around us in our community and says, I know you're going through a lot right now, but the presence of Christ goes before you wherever you go. Like, our church community is more than just meeting on Sundays. Our church community goes Monday through Saturday. His presence is with us wherever we go. And then guess what? And then we come together on Sunday as a group and we celebrate the goodness and the faithfulness of Christ coming to us. Like, that's what we get together for on Sundays. Like, Jesus should be with you in your work week, in your relationships, with your family, even with your in-laws. Like, it should be there. Sometimes we need Christ a little more with that, right? Some people know what I'm talking about. You just got back after Christmas, you're like, let's not do that again. I think we're going to stay home next year. Nobody? That's good. That's good. That's good. This is where I want to land the plane, though. This is where I want to land it. Where do you need Jesus to move forward? Where do you need Jesus to move forward? As Advent draws to a close, remember, God's work does not end with a season. His grace moves with us. It's constantly in our lives. It goes before us. It walks with us. And his grace should shape each and every day of our lives. Like, if God's grace is not shaping your life, then I'm not quite sure you understand what God's grace is. Like, I'm a sinner, and God's grace goes before me. Like, that's what we should shape our lives around. God's presence doesn't remove uncertainty in our life, but it transforms how we move through each and every day of our lives. Like, that's what his presence is built upon, is that in those uncertain moments in our lives, in the wilderness seasons of our lives, that his presence would transform our hearts so that we can help transform those around us. I want to end with this. And I wrote it down so I didn't mess it up. God is not waiting for us to reach a better place before he walks with us. He's with us now, and he will remain with us always. Like, God's not waiting for you to get everything right. He's not trying, he doesn't need you to comb your hair and put on your best suit. Like, God wants to be with you wherever you are in life. Wherever you are right now. Even if you feel like you're so far away from God, like he still wants to be in your presence. Even if you feel like, man, I've fallen off the wagon. I failed so many times. I just can't help myself. I keep on falling short of the glory of God. His presence goes before you. He wants to be with you. So no matter where you feel like you are in life right now, like, Jesus wants to be deeply, deeply in your soul. And he wants to be with you, and he wants to go before you. His grace goes before you. His presence walks beside you. Oh, God's Spirit works within you. So as we move forward, let us remember that we serve a God whose presence is with us, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Christmas season or anything like that. That his presence came to go before us wherever we go. Let us pray together. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, what a reminder it was celebrating together this Advent season and journeying together as a church community through all the prophecies that were foretold of your coming to this earth. And as we spent time looking at this prophetic word that was in the scriptures that was speaking of this one that was to come, that, Lord, you had this plan in place before anything was in place. That you knew we needed your presence to be among us. And so, Lord, just so thankful that you sent your son Jesus to be among us and with us. So thankful that you sent him to the cross for our judgment, for everything that we deserve. So thankful that he was able to defeat death and ascend to heaven. Lord, I'm thankful that you sent your Spirit to be with us. That your presence now lives in us. That we are the living embodiment of the tabernacle. That the Spirit is with us wherever we go. So, Lord, I pray now that as this church community, we've come together, we've celebrated, we're going to sing one more song together. We've lifted you up. Lord, I pray that the people of this community would not forget all that you've done for us and that your presence would go before them when they leave today. That wherever they go this week, your presence would be among them. Pray that your presence will be in every single little decision that we make, every relationship that we have, the parenting, the caregiving, whatever it is that we're doing, Lord, I pray that your presence would be with this community, that your Spirit would be upon them now. Guide them, lead them, give them strength for the days ahead. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
I picked out a verse in Acts to share as we end our time together. And it's right after the apostles receive the Holy Spirit. And then what does Peter do once he receives the Holy Spirit? He starts taking to the Spirit to the people around him. And through his preaching, what's it say, verse 41, those who believe what Peter had said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Like, let us not limit what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Now, often, like, when we get into these moments of, like, the new year coming, we start being, like, reflective, and some people make resolutions. Like, I just, like, want you to know, as, like, a church community, like, we're going after the unchurched. Those in this community who don't yet know Christ, like, we're going after them. We're taking the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get them here. Like, I don't know if, like, I'm saying that, like, bold enough, but, like, it's almost been a year that I've been here. And we're going to start going out to the community. We're going to start getting them for Christ. And then we're going to bring them in and we're going to disciple them. Because I think one of the things that we need to do as a church is we need to start raising up more leaders within our church. That we need to start taking Christ into our daily lives. His presence goes before us wherever we go. But do we truly believe that? Like, that's what we're going to discover this year. How is the presence of God working in my life? And how can I share that with the community around me? So hopefully you'll join me in my vision here to go after the unchurched and disciple those that are here with us. Love you guys. Have a safe and happy new year. And then we'll see you next Sunday.